Well, good morning. It's scary because I loved it. You applauding for me. I should seek God's glory. Anyways, today we are going to look at godly ambition of a servant leader from Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And before you go there, I just want to ask you a few questions. Are you ambitious in your life? Are you ambitious? I spoke to a Christian who came from a non-Christian background. And he said his parents were upset that he became a Christian. And you know the reason, he said? Because they were hoping that this son in whom they invested and raised, they thought that he will take care of them. But then, after becoming Christian, he became lazy and then he ended up being a small clerk or so and was providing only a little to the family. And he said, yeah, but for Christ, I forsake all those stuff. I have limited myself. I want to be humble. I said, there is something wrong, brother. You should be ambitious. You should work hard. Bible encourages to be ambitious. If you read Proverbs 14:23 says, all labor, all hard work brings profit. And Proverbs 12:14 says, diligent hands brings wealth. See, this is overreaction to the prosperity gospel. Love of money is evil. Having money, earning money is not evil. What is the evil in the prosperity gospel? This is the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel promises wealth, saying, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be rich. You will be healthy. You can be great. You will be great. That's the prosperity gospel. But what's the true gospel? You are sinful. You are nothing. But if you repent, Christ, to glorify His grace, He will forgive you. And He'll make peace with Father. This is the gospel. And then now, who has forgiven, he lives for the glory of his Master, Christ. So gospel encourages to be ambitious to glorify Christ. Seeking greatness is not wrong. Whose greatness are you seeking? Is it yours? Is it Christ? That's the difference. Is it yours? Is it Christ? We should be ambitious, not for our greatness, not for our glory, but for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we'll read from verses 35 to 45, and I'm reading from ESV version. Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory. Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we are able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink. And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you, you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. You see here, when James and John, Zebedee's, when they came and asked that we want to sit right next to you in the kingdom, Jesus did not confront them. He corrected them. They're seeking greatness, but they're seeking their greatness. So Jesus corrected them to seek greatness, not of theirs, but Lord's. We have to be ambitious. We have to be ambitious, not for our glory, for the glory of our Master. And Jesus Christ, as He, being a servant leader, He is teaching James and Zebedee to be a servant of all. You want to be first, then you should be servant. You should be servant leaders. So from this scripture portion, 35 to 45, we will see two principles of godly ambition. Two principles of godly ambition. And the first one, we will see from verses 35 to 40, that descend into greatness. Descend into greatness. See, James and Zebedee, what are they asking? They are asking two requests. Grant us whatever we ask. And then, give us seats next to you. They want to climb up. They are thinking greatness in terms of authority. That's what the world says. But it's not the same in the kingdom. It's this heart of pride, arrogance. There are disciples around. They don't have any shame. They're not feeling guilty also. They're having a bad competition with the disciples. And you know, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, the parallel passage, Matthew says that they came with the mother, their mother. And John 19:25, we'll see Zebedee's mother is sister of Mary, Jesus' mother. So they're cousins now. They're trying to make sentimental situation, bringing mom. And mom is asking. Their heart is so arrogant and pride. They want the bigger place, high places. And pride, haughty. That's what God hates. If you remember, Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16, where we see six things that the Lord hates. And the first thing is haughty eyes. God hates. And even in James chapter 4, he says verse 6, God resists the pride. You know, resist means it's like standing like this, resisting. He resists the pride. And I like what John MacArthur says. He says, these guys don't even have an idea of a zip code, a pin code of humbleness. They're nowhere in the neighborhood. Throughout the scriptures, even if you read Old Testament, we see God blesses those who are humble. They should have known that. And it's not just once. It's always there in the mind of disciples. It's there in our hearts as well. Mark chapter 9 verse 33, just the chapter before. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what are you discussing on the way? They were discussing who is the greatest. And Luke chapter 9 verse 41-46, an argument arose among them as to which of them was greatest. This was there always. And Luke chapter 22, the day before the Christ has been crucified, even there they are having this argument. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Jesus Christ was talking about His crucifixion. If you see just the verses above, from verses 32 to 33, Jesus is foretelling His death and how He is going to resurrect. And disciples are arguing who are going to be the greatest. Once He leaves, who will sit on the thrones? And many people, even in our days, in the church, are depressed and sad, not happy with life. For this reason, because we seek greatness for ourselves. we should aim humbleness. So to descend into greatness, we have to have two prerequisites. That's one thing is aiming humbleness. Aiming humbleness. You see in 1 Peter verses 5 to 6, Peter says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, He may exalt you. If you humble, God is going to exalt. We have to descend into the greatness. We have to go down. If you humble, God is going to exalt. James 4:10, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will exalt you. And Luke 14:11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Proverbs 18:12, before the destruction of man's heart is hearty, but humility comes before honor. Humbleness, that's what should be our goal. Greatness is down, we should go down. And what is humbleness? You know, sin affected this world and changed the way we see the world. So sin has changed the perspectives, dimensions. Humbleness is also twisted. When we say humble in the church and even in the world, especially in the world, and it's infected in the church. So, what is humbleness? To say, okay, I'm nothing. I'm very small. I can't do. You know, when someone offers a ministry, they say, no, I won't do. You are great. You do, brother. No. Thank you. But that's not humbleness. What is humbleness? Thinking right of yourself. Thinking as God thinks of yourself. We should know how God thinks of yourself. And if you think you're humble, you're not humble. You're not humble because God thinks you're not humble. Bible says we are sinners and the root of sin is pride. We are prideful persons. We should seek humbleness. As pride, we should seek humbleness. So if you think you're humble, you're not humble. So brothers, I encourage you today, Just humble yourself and accept who you are. Humbleness leads to fruitfulness. When you are humble, you will be fruitful. Jesus Christ is an example. Jesus Christ, He washed the feet of the disciples. And then false humility comes in the Peter and he says, no, don't wash my feet, Lord. You shouldn't touch my feet. And what did Jesus say? He confronted him. That's true humbleness. True humbleness involves activity, serving, and then also it involves confronting the believers who are sinning. Are you humble enough to help your brother? And not just to point their sins, but to help him to grow, follow Christ. We should think right of ourselves and then humble and serve the church. And the second requisite to go down to greatness is to willing to suffer. That we see in verses 38. Jesus says, when they ask for thrones, Jesus said to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And to be baptized with the baptism which I am going to be baptized. So Jesus Christ, when He is talking about cup, you remember in Matthew chapter 26, He prayed to the Father, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. He is talking about the cup of crucifixion, the cross, the sufferings that He is going to. And the baptism, He is talking about the death, death on the cross, the bloody death. You want to be great? You want the thrones? Then Jesus is saying, are you able to suffer? The pathway to greatness is sufferings. Pathway to greatness is sufferings. If you remember Philippians chapter 1 verse 29, we are given the gift of sufferings. We have been given the gift of sufferings. We have to be willing to suffer. We live in a culture and a generation, including myself, deeply committed to comforts of this life, aren't we? Are we willing to suffer? We want comfort. We are worshipping our comfortness. When Jesus said, "Are you willing to suffer?" What is this suffering that Jesus Christ is referring to? The cross where he is serving others. So this suffering is not because they didn't work hard and that they didn't have money. They're poor. But this suffering is caused because Christ thought of others and served. So our suffering should also be attached with serving others. Are you ready to serve others at the cost of taking the pain? Are you ready to suffer for your brother? Are you willing to suffer? I can help brother as much as I can. But there are limits. I have my own family. I have to take care. I have limits. I have to take care of my family. Yes, you have to. You provide for your family. You take care of your family. Not provide comforts. But not luxuries. Don't worship comforts. Seeking comfort is not evil. Again, let me explain. I am not asking you to pray, "Lord, give me sufferings. Give me poverty. I am not asking you to pray for sufferings. I am saying if you get in a place where you have to sacrifice for your brother, are you ready to sacrifice? Are you ready to take the pain we have to take like Christ? That's what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to pray for sufferings. But when you get an opportunity to serve brother and it is costing you, are you ready to take it? As Christ took it, we should also take the challenge to suffer for brothers. And 2 Timothy 3:1, Paul actually warns Timothy saying, understand the last days there will come people who will be lovers of self and lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Are you able to relate to this? Are we lovers of self or lovers of God? If we are lovers of God, we will love our brothers. We will serve our brothers, even if it costs. And that is greatness. And that is greatness. In the kingdom of God. So descend into the greatness, aiming humbleness and willing to suffer for your brother. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says, For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. You have to follow in his steps in taking sufferings. 2 Timothy 3:12, indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. All who desires to live godly life will be persecuted. Not maybe, will be. Are you ready? Are you willing to sacrifice, suffer for your brother in Christ? Do you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Then brothers, we should take up this challenge to serve our brothers, even if it costs our comforts. And the second principle of this godly ambition is to ascend into slavery. The first principle is that we should descend into greatness, go down into the greatness. And second principle is that we should ascend into slavery. Slavery in this world is looked down. But in the Bible, if you see, who is the servant? God is our son. Who is the helper? God is our help. Right? verses 41 to 45, we see Jesus Christ explaining disciples what is true greatness is, that is in slavery. In verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John, and Jesus called them and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of in the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be among you. It's not James and Zebedee. So all disciples are seeking the thrones. That's why they are angry when James and Zebedee went and asked. Because they thought, they took aunt, and then they are going to get those seats. We are going to lose the seats. They are worried now. They want those seats. And they are upset now. And Jesus graciously called them, and now he is explaining to ascend into slavery. You want to be great? Then ascend into slavery. He says, but it shall not be among you. But whoever will be great among you must be servant of all, slave of all. It's Steve Jobs who said, to be a successful leader, you should be a person crazy enough to think to change that you can change the world. You should be crazy enough to think that you should change the world. You cannot change the world. We cannot. And it is suicide to encourage somebody to think like that. It's suicidal. Because when you believe in that, and you will not change the world, and you will end up, you know, getting depressed because you didn't succeed in changing the world. Jesus Christ, he says, if you want to be great, go and serve. Don't think high of yourself, but think low. Go down and serve. You be the slave of all. Who is a hero? What is the definition of hero in this world? You watch movies, you will understand. The one who bullies, one who abuses, one who doesn't respect elders, that's the hero. Sometimes even it affects in church. Humble one, servants are the heroes. And to ascend into slavery, Jesus Christ that says, first you have to forsake the worldly ideas. He says in verse 42, in the world, Gentiles lord it over them, and great ones exercise authority. But you should be slaves. He says, forsake the worldly ideas. Forsake the worldly ideas. You can't change the world. You are not smart. You are not great. Brothers, please don't trust that. Only God is great. So you work hard. You be slave. And you will be great in the kingdom of God. Forsake worldly ideas. 1 Peter 5:3, Peter says, shepherd the flock, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock in serving. And 2 Corinthians 1:24 says, Paul says, no, not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. For you stand firm in your faith. We are workers, Paul says. And Jesus Christ himself says in John chapter 13:14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I set an example that you should do just as I have done to you. We, like Christ, should serve. Greatness is not exercising authority. Greatness is serving. And second principle that Christ gives is to follow Christ. He says in verse 44, and whoever would be first among you, you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life
as ransom for many. This is the center of the gospel. This is the heart of the gospel. So Christ is giving the greatest example that you want to be great, you want to be the Lord's, you should be servant. You should sacrifice. Brothers, I'll define leadership in one word, sacrifice. That's what Christ is teaching. You want to be leader, then sacrifice. Jesus is saying, for even the Son of Man, myself, I have came not to be served, but to serve. You want to be leader in the church, then serve. And serve. And we can't serve the way as Christ served. He gave his own life so that he might reach our need, the greatest need, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus says he died for our sins as a ransom for many. This word ransom, it's never used apart from here in the Bible. Once here and Matthew in the same context. Ransom, the price that is paid for deliverance. So Christ is saying, looking at your needs, I have given my life, everything. Philippians chapter 2, he says, he emptied himself, everything, so that he might redeem us from our sins, to deliver us. That's the greatest leader. And Philippians chapter 2, we see, when verse 5, Paul encourages them to have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. The greatest service Christ has done, and the greatest name Christ has received from the Father. Therefore, why therefore? Because Christ has humbled, God has highly exalted. You want to be great? Then go down as much as you can. As much as you can. Then God will exalt you. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all. Ephesians 5:2, Paul says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering. And John 3:16, brothers, how much can you love your brother? John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. We have to lay down our lives for our brothers. You know how much you can help your brother? You can give your own life. You can die for your brother. Not just sacrificing your comforts, not just suffering, but you can give your life to your brother. What are you idolizing? What are you worshipping today? Are you ready to sacrifice? Are you ready to serve? It's a challenge for each one of us here. Do you serve only whom you love? That's even world does. Christ told you have to serve your enemies. Do you serve only those whom you love? Or do you serve to those who are in need? Is your friendship because of you're of same color, of same economical background? Or it's because of Christ? What's the common point of your friendship? It's a challenge for us. You want to be great? Then go down. Serve others. Lay down your life for your brothers, like Christ has laid down. And Jeremiah 45:5 says, and do you seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. For behold, I am bringing disaster upon all flesh, declares the Lord. But I will give you your life as a prize of war in all places to which you may go. If you seek great things for you, it's a disaster for you. But in Christ, what should be our aim? What should be our goal? What should we seek for? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, so whether we live, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. That should be our goal. That should be our aim. To please Him. To make His name great. To glorify Him. Then you will be great in His kingdom. You will be glorified. We should follow Christ in serving. And descend into greatness. And ascend into slavery. We'll close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your Son who has come to lay down His life. Looking at our needs, Lord Jesus Christ, you came down and you laid your own life. You emptied yourself. Thank you for your love. Now as we read from your scriptures, Lord, that we should also lay down our lives for our brothers. I pray, Lord, that we will all take this commitment to serve the church. Serve the brothers in the church. Even going to the point of suffering, even if it cost our lives, Father. I pray that we will be examples in following you, leading people to Christ, humbling ourselves, Father. I pray that we will all be servant leaders in Christ. I submit Cornerstone and myself into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.